It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's on us. Let's get it.
It's 9 o'clock.
It's time for more 92.9 The Game Tonight as we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Home Run Derby night as the All-Star Game in Texas. John Friggy with you from the Northern Kia Studios. As we continue our discussion here, 404-726-0929, talking about the Hawks and Trae Young, also talking about some SEC media days. If you are a fan of an SEC team, I have questions about literally every SEC team, so you're welcome to call in here and talk about your team as Kirby Smart gets ready to talk about Georgia and all the issues that are surrounding the never-ending speeding issues up in Athens tomorrow. Alabama gets ready with Kalen DeBoer's debut and much more from SEC Media Days, which, by the way, you should know, there was a little bit of news here that the SEC Media Days next year will be back in Atlanta, which is where they should be every year, but I understand they want to move them around. But they're going to be back here next year. Also, we'll get into a little bit of the Braves as Ozuna from the Braves is part of the Home Run Derby. Oh, one real quick thing before we get to your calls. Dom, my brother is, you know, watching the Home Run Derby. I'm obviously doing a show, so he's sending me some updates every now and then. Apparently, the national anthem tonight was sung by a young country singer, okay? In the break, I managed to listen to about 20 seconds of it.
It's funny you mention it because I did the same thing. I was scrolling through socials and saw some people and checked out about 30 seconds of it. And that... I am not being hyperbolic when I say that is the worst rendition of the national anthem I've ever heard.
Oh, I felt so bad for her. I really do. She's young, obviously really nervous. It's a hard song to sing. This is why in a lot of places, the national anthem, remind me to tell you about some rather inside baseball things here in a moment. In regards to the national anthem, because I want to take Coleman and Winder here, but just remind me. I'm going to tell you a little kind of inside baseball about what happens with the anthem. Coleman in Winder is on with John. Hey, Coleman, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, John? You know, I'm a big-time listener to you, man. You doing all right tonight?
I'm doing great, thanks, man. What you got?
So here's what I got. I got three things for you. The Hawks and the Falcons and the Braves I think they'll do okay. I love all them teams. So we're going to go to them dogs. So I'm going to go with Smack, Dub, and I don't know if we do a Smack or Dub, but so I'll go with Clemson, that's Smack, 1-0. Tennessee Tech practice, that's like a scrimmage. Kentucky, 3-0.
We don't need to go through the whole schedule. Just do you think they're going to go unbeaten this year?
I think they're going to do their thing this year, and I'm glad for the 12-team playoffs that makes it interesting. So I think that's
yeah, it does.
For,
it makes it interesting in a lot of ways.
Well, I think Carson Beck will go number one in the NFL next year.
Yeah, that's hard to say. I mean, only because, because it could be, well, what if the team doesn't need a quarterback?
True. I mean, but, you know, they always have
I mean, yeah. Up. Well, you're not going to, Unless you're the Falcons, you don't use your number one pick on drafting a backup quarterback. All right, that was a shot. Okay, I get it. But no, you don't draft. The number one pick in the draft is going to be, it could be, I've seen it, you know, James Pierce Jr. at Tennessee, Coleman, is okay. going to be a hell of a player. I mean, he's going to be a game wrecker
on the defensive line. He's a defensive end. I'm sorry.
He's a defensive end. Yeah, oh. James Pierce Jr. is a hella quarterback record at Tennessee. He could be the number one pick. If the Washington Commanders have the number one pick, they just took Jaden Daniels.
No, you're right.
Why would they take?
This was the big quarterback class, so next year might not be cool. Yeah. I get what you're saying. Next year might not be.
Well, no, I mean, it could be a good quarterback class. You just might be a team that doesn't need a quarterback.
True. Okay, well, let's switch it up. Let's go to the Falcons. So, I don't know. I think that we can go to the playoffs and maybe do something in the playoffs. What do you think?
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, and I appreciate the call, Coleman. Coleman and Winder, 404-726-0929. I mentioned it before, and I'll get really deep into the Falcons tomorrow. But we asked a question yesterday that I want to come back to here. How many points better are the Falcons this year than last year? Because if your answer is 6 points a game better offensively, 6 points a game better offensively, which I think they can do fairly easily. I'd like to believe that they're going to be somewhere closer to 9 to 10 points better. But if they're 6 points better offensively, that 7-10 team last year would have gone 12-5. 6 points. Okay? And so I really think the Falcons, I am talking myself into a tizzy here over what I think is going to happen with the Atlanta Falcons, but you never know. I mean, injuries happen. There's a really difficult stretch at the beginning of the year. Those first 5 games are brutal. They got to come out of that 3-2 somehow. They have to, at worst, split. There's another part of the schedule that's really difficult is that the Falcons play 5 of their 6 division games, including both games against Tampa and both games against the Swampers in the first 10 weeks of the year. By the time they get to week 10, they played 5 of the 6 divisions. You got one game at the end of the year against Carolina. You can't make up any ground on the Swampers or Tampa because you already played them both twice by week 10. So you got to do hella hay the first half of the season. You not only have to match wits with teams like Philadelphia and Kansas City and Pittsburgh, you're going to have to play 4 games in the first 10, and actually 4 games between weeks 4 and 10, 4 games and 7 between Tampa and New Orleans. Phew, okay. They better hit the ground running. They damn well better hit the ground running. You know, back to the national anthem just a moment because I think there's something kind of interesting. Dom, a lot of fans won't realize. In some places, they do things differently in different places when it comes to pregame. I think that some fans probably understand that there's a rundown. If you've ever done play-by-play or been part of a television broadcast or anything like that, there's a rundown before the game, correct? You understand that, mm-hmm. Right? A countdown.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know you know this. There's a countdown, usually starts about 90 minutes out from game time, depending on the game. The Super Bowl, it's a lot farther than that. And then they put a clock up at the stadium, which counts down. They're not just counting down for your benefit in the stands to when things are going to. That countdown is being watched by the broadcasters, and we have a sheet that details what it is on the clock. It's being watched by all the people that have to do stuff, if they're doing some pregame thing with honoring somebody, or when the teams go on and off the field, or when the band comes on in college, or when the national anthem is going to be, or when the coin flip is going to be. It happens at this time on the clock, and this time on the clock, and this time on the clock, and there's a rundown sheet for that, okay? So in some places, just because they want to stay on time and because they don't want a mic to malfunction, they pre-record the national anthem. The singer will go out there and pre-record it 90 minutes before the game, and then they'll just play it back, and the singer will Milli Vanilli it. I wish they had done that for this poor girl tonight, because they obviously didn't.
Yeah, she needed it.
They could have pre-recorded it. Yep, and if it wasn't any good, they say, hey, can you sing it again? They should have pre-recorded it, and then maybe, you know, okay, second time was so great, can we do anything in edit? Yeah, we can sweeten this, make it, you know. Now all I have to do is just karaoke this thing, you know what I mean? I wish they would have done that for her. And a lot of times, and I don't know if they changed it, but in the ACC, for a long time, the coin flip that you saw at the beginning of the game in the center of the field, the coin flip between the two things, was staged. Because we would sit, when I was doing play-by-play at Wake Forest, and our on-field guy, they would take a captain from each team and the referees, and they would go into about 20 minutes before the game, they would, you know, as the teams were leaving the field to go back into the locker rooms, the captain from one team, captain from the other team, a couple officials, go into the corner of the end zone, and they would do the coin flip. That way, if there was any disagreement, and they say, okay, so they'd flip it over there in the corner, and our field guy would say, okay, so, you know, Duke won the flip, and they're going to defer and to the right. And then they got to the middle of the field, and they say, okay, Duke, you call it. Call it heads, heads. It's heads. It could be tails. It didn't matter. All right, Duke, what do you want to do? It didn't matter. They already knew. It was all staged. Now, that's not the way it is in the Super Bowl. That was done back in the day. I don't know if they still do that. That was done so that there was nobody arguing and screaming about whether it was heads or tails.
Ah, okay. That makes sense, I guess. I didn't know that.
Yeah. No, no, that's it. You know, none of that. So, yeah. Also, I don't know if they still do that. It was done back in the day.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. And also, just a quick update on the Home Run Derby since we were talking about it. Right now, it looks like Alec Baum of the Phillies currently leads the pack after the first round. He has 21. Pete Alonso is actually up right now, but he had a pretty rough outing. He's got 12.
Good. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
it's a little bummer for him because he kind of had the worst outing thus far. He was trying to become like the second player since Ken Griffey Jr. to win it three times or something like that. So rough night for him.
I think third all time, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And then,
yeah. So yeah. Oh, okay. How did Ozuna from the Braves do?
Ozuna has not batted just yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's. I think he might be next up or after. I think Jose Ramirez actually might be next up.
Okay, we'll keep you updated on what's going on. That is a Dom thing, a Dom update, Dom update on the Home Run Derby, which I avoid because I just, it's like, you know, I don't watch the slam dunk. It's for the same reason, you know.
Can we make just, that dum da dum dum dum? Can we make that like an official sounder? I like that. That was cool.
Yes, you can if you like. You pull that and make it an official. You can edit whatever you want, Dom. You are in charge. 404-726-0929. To what Coleman and Winder was talking about, again, yeah, could Carson Beck be the number one pick? Sure. He suddenly is not the Heisman favorite. Now, apparently, that's Dylan Gabriel of Oregon. Dylan Gabriel's been kind of mercurial. That's a big word for all you Swampers. It means he's moved around a lot. He was at Central Florida. He started his college career 10 years ago at Central Florida. You think I'm kidding? I think he was at Central Florida with Scott Frost. With Scott Frost. Because he took over when Mackenzie Milton got hurt. And then Scott Frost went to Nebraska, and now Scott Frost has been gone from Nebraska. We're in year three of Matt Rhule, for crying out, and Dylan Gabriel's still playing college football. Dude has been around, I think this might be his seventh year. I mean, he's been forever, right? UCF and Oklahoma is at least his sixth at Oregon, and he is the favorite apparently now for the Heisman. But I was thinking about this, you know, who needs a quarterback who's going to be potentially number one? To Coleman's point here, I mean, the Giants, obviously the Giants. If the Giants end up with the number one pick, sure. The Raiders, yes, sure. You know, of course. You know, the teams like the Giants and the Raiders are obviously taking quarterbacks very high in the draft. And Carson Beck is probably going to go to a place like New York or Las Vegas. Now, having said that, I mean, are there a whole bunch of teams? See, the problem is for the quarterbacks coming out this year is that there were so many teams that needed quarterbacks, but they've invested in quarterbacks. And even teams that didn't necessarily need a quarterback, like the Falcons, invested in a quarterback. And they got to see what they've got. So it's not like the Vikings, unless J.J. McCarthy goes out there and they go, oh, my God, he's just awful. You know, I mean, the Giants are going to give up on Daniel Jones. They should never have paid him the money they paid him to begin with, but that's another story. But other teams like the Bears aren't drafting a quarterback. They just did. You know, the Commanders aren't drafting a quarterback. They just did. The Patriots, I mean, what are we talking about here, right? You know, maybe, but they just went out and got Drake May, right? So, I don't know. Maybe a team like the Saints would. If Derek Carr didn't get it done this year, maybe the Saints dip their toe into it. But where are they going to be drafting? And there's some pretty good quarterbacks coming out. Not just Carson Beck. I mean, Shadur is an interesting guy, isn't he? He'd be an interesting quarterback. Quinn Ewers, Jalen Milrow, Cam Ward, Dylan Gabriel is mentioned. There's Jackson Dart at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
Connor Wegman at A&M. There are a lot of good quarterbacks this year. I hear some people say next year's quarterback class is better than the one that just happened. That I'm not sure about. I think the one that just happened could be sneaky pretty good. And what I mean that is, I think the Falcons quarterback that they drafted could be actually pretty damn good. Just saying. John Frankie from the Northern Kia Studios on a Home Run Derby night, 404-726-0929 on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's hiding somewhere in the darkness waiting for nightfall.
It's live sports talk in the ATL at night. This is 92.9 The Game Tonight.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, I had a fan once, welcome back to the Northern Kia Studios, who was telling me about J.J. McCarthy and about how he would be no good as a quarterback in the NFL, and he may be no good as a quarterback in the NFL, and he had called the show. This is back right around the time of the draft, and he said, you know, it was obviously an Ohio State fan, okay, talking about how proud he was of the Ohio State quarterback. When a year used to be that Ohio State quarterbacks never made it in the NFL, right? They'd be great college, and then they would get to the NFL, and they'd be like, and CJ had the great year, of course, and all that kind of stuff. Justin Fields looked like he had something kind of going there for a while, you know, and hopefully he does again. And he may this year with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Depends on how that all kind of plays out. And it'll be really interesting to see what happens with Justin if he ever gets on a team that's got some talent around him. Anyway, point was, he's like, I watched J.J. McCarthy. Of course, Ohio State. He's not going to be no good in the NFL. And he may or may not be. I don't know. Sometimes guys surprise you. And I said, well, why is that? Well, because he played at Michigan. And Michigan never puts out any good quarterbacks ever. And I mean, yeah, you're right. Like Tom Brady, no good. But Tom Brady, he didn't play at Michigan. I was like, dude, yeah, he did. Well, when he was at Michigan, he was no good. Well, that was what you... Well, he was okay. He was actually okay at Michigan. Does Alabama fans remember that bowl game where Tom Brady kind of ate you alive? Yeah, I do. So he wasn't awful. He wasn't a superstar, but he wasn't awful. And he turned out to be but the point was he turned out to be a pretty good pro quarterback, right? Okay. It's really hard. It's so hard. I mean, and the perfect modern example of why you can't predict quarterbacks, you look no further than what team exemplifies the hell we didn't know of modern quarterbacks in the NFL? Well, that would be the brilliance of the offensive mind of Kyle Shanahan, wouldn't it? Because Kyle's so brilliant, he traded up to get Trey Lance. And George Kittle said Trey Lance, when he was in practice before his rookie season, George said, oh my God, this guy is going to be the second coming. This guy is the greatest young quarterback I've ever seen. Now, George Kittle said that. The Niners had wasted their final draft pick, the last pick of the draft, on some quarterback from Iowa State who was just sort of hanging around in the background. How's that worked out? You never know. You just sometimes it's obvious. You know, sometimes quarterbacks come out and it's just obvious. Okay, to me it was obvious with Peyton Manning. Though, at the time that Peyton Manning was drafted, it was not obvious to the fans of San Diego that Peyton Manning was better than Ryan Leaf. How do I know that? John, how would you know that? Well, because I was a morning show guy in Southern California at the Chargers station. And the Chargers fans were calling in saying, hey, we don't want this happy feet Ryan Leaf, Peyton Manning guy. We want that big, strong-armed, 6'5 frame of Ryan Leaf. That's what we want. Please don't take Ryan Leaf, Indianapolis. We don't want Peyton Manning here. And they so badmouthed Peyton Manning in San Diego for so long, which obviously turned out to be the exact wrong thing to do, right? On two fronts. Because what happened later on? They so badmouthed Peyton Manning. And they did. I mean, they were harsh. They were brutally harsh. It got back to the Manning family. And what happened when the Chargers a few years later drafted Eli Manning number one in the draft? Oh, that's right. He's like, I'm not going there. He didn't put the hat on, and he forced him to trade him to the Giants, right? You know, but that draft happened with Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers, and the Chargers said, Marty Schottenheimer said to me, look, Phillip Rivers better than Eli Manning. And you can make an argument. He didn't obviously didn't win the titles. Phillip Rivers is a great quarterback. Okay, Eli was a great quarterback. Phillip Rivers is a great quarterback. And then somebody, one of the scouts said to me, yeah, I think Roethlisberger's better than the other two. I went, really? The kid from Miami of Ohio? See, you never know. I mean, you just don't know. Sometimes it's obvious, and sometimes it's really a weird thing with quarterbacks as to whether or not they real hit and miss. Well, I can go back in Atlanta Falcons history. We all knew that Michael Vick was going to be Michael Vick. It was just blatantly obvious. And when the trade happened with the, here we go again, San Diego Chargers, and that was a trade that actually worked out for both teams. Chargers traded Michael Vick. How did it work out for them? Well, they got LaDainian Tomlinson, and I don't know about you, but he pretty good. Ian Canton, that's how good he is. So it worked out for both teams. And the Chargers at the time had a young quarterback that they drafted named Drew Brees. All right, they go back on that one. Anyway, so we all knew Michael Vick was going to be really good, right? We all knew that. But Matt Ryan? Now, the Falcons kept telling us that Matt Ryan was going to be good, but there were a lot of people in town when Matt Ryan was going, really? In Boston College? You know, Doug Flutie? What? I mean, Doug Flutie, no good. Again, you go back to the whole thing about it being from a school, right? And, Dom, do you remember that whole time? Were you around here when they drafted Matt Ryan and they were going, don't know about that?
No, I was a little too young to be working here at that time, but I do remember kind of.
Just
in Atlanta in general.
Just general.
Yeah, I do remember there kind of being a sense of like, okay, because I feel like, you know, it's something that we talk about a lot, like the city kind of wants the flash and the glitz and the glam, and Matt Ryan wasn't exactly that, like especially like his style of play. So I do remember him being drafted and everyone, there was kind of a lukewarm reception.
I think lukewarm is kind. But then again, you know, some fans forget, he wasn't exactly directly replacing Michael Vick. There was a placeholder named Joey Arrington. Ah, that's right. How many Oregon quarterbacks have the Falcons had anyway? A lot. They've had a lot of quarterbacks from Oregon for some reason. Some have been good, some not so good. You know, Chris Miller, really good. Chris Miller was actually really good. Chris Miller was the reason that Brett Favre ended up in Green Bay because the Falcons didn't want to give up on Chris Miller, who was really good. I liked Chris Miller quite a bit. And so, anyway, that's water under the bridge here. So you can never tell with all these quarterbacks, and who needs a quarterback is going to be really interesting in this draft coming up because, you know, I'll give you some teams that you may not think of, they may need a quarterback. For example, you may not think that, okay, so who's set? You look around at the NFC South. Oh, well, Tampa's obviously set with Baker. Is Carolina really set with Bryce Young? You know, this year is going to be kind of interesting with Dave Canales as the head coach. If they can't turn Bryce Young around and start to show that he can be a really, truly effective NFL quarterback, the question becomes how long do you wait? I don't want you to misconstrue that, all right, in any way, shape, or form. Are you saying Bryce Young sucks? No, not what I said. What I said was, How is he going to be as an NFL quarterback? You have to kind of throw last year out. He was on an awful team that was falling apart. They couldn't beat the Atlanta Falcons on a rainy Sunday with nobody in the – actually, they could do that. All right, so – but you know what I'm saying, right? And so they're going to be pretty high draft. I think Carolina's actually going to be improved this year with Canales and some of the additions they've made. And if Bryce Young takes a big step in year two, that team could win 5 or 6 games. But if they don't, and they're right there in the top three again, and they go 3-14 or 4-13, they may have to, and it's, and Bryce Young doesn't develop at all as a quarterback, they may have to say, look, you can't sit around and cut, you may have to cut bait. You may have to say, okay, it's time for us to go get Carson back. Sorry, we screwed up. Happens. Quarterbacks get taken at the top of the draft, and they're no good. San Diego Chargers had to cut bait with Ryan Leaf, right? Pretty quick. Now, granted, there were other reasons, because Ryan Leaf was a human meltdown on top of the fact that he wasn't any good at quarterback, okay? I mean, he was a human meltdown. And, you know, backstory here. I got so many Ryan Leaf stories because I was there for all of it. But one of the backstories on Ryan Leaf is they had to bring a quarterback in. The Chargers brass said, and Mike Riley, God love Mike Riley. Mike Riley was head coach. Mike's a friend of mine. And so Mike's talking to me. He says, I got to bring a quarterback in to settle the franchise down. We have to settle the franchise down. We're going to cut Ryan, and we have to settle the franchise down, which I understand. And he says, I got to go get a veteran quarterback to bring him in. So I'm going to bring in Jim Harbaugh. And I went, oh, okay, that's pretty good. So he brings Harbaugh in. That was, I meeting Jim Harbaugh within 10 minutes, I knew, I said, this guy's going to be a coach. Because it was obvious. Jim Harbaugh walked in the locker room and kind of clapped his hands and went, all right, everybody gather around here. Let me tell you how this is going to work. We all went, oh, okay, somebody's finally in charge here. So he went, Jim was a good quarterback. Jim was a good quarterback. He was a good quarterback with the Bears. He was good. He was good with the Colts. Not great. Jim was never a great quarterback. He was a good quarterback. Another Michigan quarterback. But Jim was good. But boy, you could tell he was going to be a coach. How he's going to do with it, that's why he's with the Chargers now, because he's friends with the Spanoses. That's how that all began. You know, with Jim Harbaugh as the coach of the Chargers, because he came in at the request of Mike Riley to settle the franchise down after the debacle of Ryan Leaf. That's how, why he's the head coach of the Chargers now. See the things you learn? So that's why he's there. Anyway, so it's hard to tell here. Now, when it comes to college quarterbacks, it's even harder to tell. How is Nico going to be in Tennessee? I need to see Jackson Dart take another step. Jackson Dart's got game. There's no question that Jackson Dart's got game. Spencer Sanders left Oklahoma State. All the ballyhoo about Spencer Sanders for a competition, and Jackson Dart said, flat beat him out, said, sit on the bench, son. Jackson can play, but Jackson's got to take another step in his game. Okay? And so we have to see another level from him. The same is true of Jalen Milroe, who I think is actually pretty darn good. Boy, did he get a lot of crap. Remember the whole benching thing down in Florida when mm-hmm. they're putting in like Tyler Buchner?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, they tried that for a week and immediately realized it was a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, and Saban said, okay, can I put Milroe back in there? I think Jalen Milroe is actually pretty good. So, they'll rise and fall a little bit on that. So there's some really – look, I think Haynes King has been a – do we all agree that Haynes King has been a – first off, he got out of the never-ending role of whatever the ridiculousness of Texas A&M is to come to Georgia Tech, where it was freeing for him to come to Georgia Tech, and he's turned into one of the best quarterbacks Georgia Tech has had in a long time. And whatever they do this year is going to be, you know, largely on the shoulders of Haynes King, who's a pretty good quarterback. I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke up your skirt and tell you he's a Heisman winner. But no, but he's pretty good. He's upper half quarterback in the ACC. How about that? He might be close to top five in the ACC. He's a pretty good quarterback. 6'7", somewhere in there, right? Now, Carson Beck was a guy who was scared of his own shadow. I get scared of my own shadow. He sits on the bench, four-star guy out of Florida. I don't know. We got to get another guy in here. Dude balled out. And all of a sudden, everybody went, oh, God, this guy can really play. Because whatever you think of Jake Fromm, and you think a lot of him, of Stetson Bennett, and you think a lot of him, of Justin Fields or anybody else that came through here in kind of the Kirby Smart era here, right? This dude, he's the best one of the bunch. He can flat play. And there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to win games. See, Georgia may go unbeaten, but in order to go unbeaten, I want to set expectations for you Georgia fans this year, just so that you understand. 10-2 is not a losing season. 10-2 gets you into the SEC title game, maybe, and 11-2 gets you an SEC championship and a bye. Okay? So you got to make the SEC title game. Now making the SEC title game becomes all the more important. Because the winner of the SEC title game gets an automatic bye in the playoff. It becomes really important, right? And 10-2 is not an awful year. Because even though I'm going, oh, we're not going to lose, you're going to play four or even five games that will be settled in the last 4 to 5 minutes of the game. It is just the way it is. You have to play at Ole Miss. You have to play at Alabama. You have to play at Texas. You got to play Clemson. Oh, we're going to dust Clemson. You may. But you're going to play four to five games that are probably going to be settled in the last 5 minutes. Now, you may win all of them and go 12-0, and one may not break your way. And something weird happens, and a tip ball happens, and it's pick six the other way. Oh, my God, we lost. That's the nature of college football right now. Okay, that's all. It doesn't mean you aren't the best team in the nation, because I firmly believe that going back to last year, that Georgia team was actually better than the two national championship teams. That was the best team in the nation. They should have won three in a row. And what happened? You gagged at the wrong time, in the wrong place, in the wrong kind of setup. Should they have been in the 14 playoff? Were they the best team? Yeah. But under the qualification thing, that's why you should be really happy there's a 12 team. On Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Restrictions apply.
Keeping me up all night with this.
Back to more 92.9 The Game tonight.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios. John Friggy with you. As always, be back 7 to 10 tomorrow. A little bit of Braves, second half look ahead, some Falcons stuff that I've been sitting on here that I want to talk to you a little bit about. I've been talking SEC Media Days tonight, a little bit of Hawks. SEC Media Days coming up tomorrow. We will have Kirby Smart, head coach Georgia, and of course we'll be re-examining that as well, how he addresses this whole issue surrounding the never-ending problem, and I don't know how you handle it. I really don't. This speeding thing, you're not gonna put a governor in their engine. You're not gonna be monitoring them. I don't know how you handle this. And see, this happens. Understand something else. This happens everywhere. Okay? It happens everywhere. The difference is that at Georgia there was a fatal accident the night of a championship celebration, right? The difference is that Georgia's in a spotlight that they've never been in before. You see, if four players at, let's pick a school, Illinois, get busted for, you know, drag racing in the street, there's nobody paying attention to that. And I don't mean that, Brett Bielema. I don't mean that. I'm sorry, Illini fans. I'm not trying to shade you. You're not Georgia. You're not in that spotlight. Okay? You're just not. And so when you're standing on the stage alone in the spotlight, what happens to the teams that are sitting in the wings, even if it's the exact same thing, they all see you. And so, fair or not, it comes with the territory here. So you have an update there on the home runs
home run
or us?
Derby. Yes, sir. So, one, Marcell Ozuna has went ahead and concluded his round. He finished with 16, so better than Pete Alonso, but not quite good enough to advance to the semis. Gunnar Henderson actually just went up, and I believe he had about 13. So it looks like the ones that will be advancing are Alec Baum and Jose Ramirez, who both tied for 21 home runs in the first round.
Well, I thought four advanced.
Oh, I'm sorry. They will be advancing. And then Bobby Witt and Teoscar Hernandez. Sorry. Yes.
Oh, okay. I got you. All right. Well, yeah, of course, Bobby Witt, right? I mean, they're gonna shade it, right? I mean, of course. it's all rigged. So, that's okay. Good for Marcell, I guess, to go up there and represent the way he did. And no other Brave can say anything. So Marcell had 13, you said?
Gunnar Henderson, I believe, finished with like 13. Marcell had 16.
Oh, 16.
Mm-hmm.
So Marcell had three more home runs than Matt Olson's had all year.
Exactly. Good math. Good math.
We can point a lot of fingers at the Braves at the moment. The second half of this, how this Braves saga this season is going to end, but it better end positively, and it better end with Matt Olson doing something. That's all I can tell you. Because so far, if I point one finger of blame at one guy, it's probably him. You're a 54 home run guy. 54. You can hit 54 home runs. What are you doing at 13? So, just saying. And I want Matt to get red hot. I want him to get rolling. I think all of us do. There's 67 games to go. How sweet would it be if all of a sudden he got on a tear and hit 20 home runs the last 67 games? That'd be great. I mean, the man could do it. We know that. But then again, Dom, I still think the Braves have hit 109 home runs, I think, so far this year. Right, 109. They played 95 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have 67 to go. So this whole thing about first half, second half, they got to start calling it pre-All-Star, post-All-Star. We're not even close to half. We're 2 weeks, 14 games past half. We're well into the second half of the season.
Right, right.
And the Braves have hit 109 home runs. Last year, they hit 307. Think about that. 307. They're not going to even come. They're the half at this point. Like half the number of home runs they hit last year. Wow. Now, hopefully they get hot and Olson leads the way and we're all singing Kumbaya and Matt ends up hitting 255 with 34 home runs and, you know, 85 RBIs. Okay, you know, I mean, but I'm still of the belief, and I would love to hear, and though the players haven't talked about it, but if I could get Dom 2 minutes with Matt Olson, okay, 2 minutes with Austin Riley, just off the record, okay, 2 minutes with Sean Murphy or Travis, any of them, I would like to ask them, is there something wrong with the baseball? Because me thinks there's something wrong with the baseball.
Yeah, because it's not just the Braves. Like,
right.
It's glaring because it's the Braves and because of the season they had last year, so maybe it's just a little, like, we notice it more. But it's not just here in Atlanta. It's across the board. Home runs are just down in general.
Everything's down. Hitting's down. Yeah. Everything's down.
Yeah, and, like,
strikeouts are up. The spin rate that they're talking about, mm-hmm, with some of these pitchers. These sweepers, I've never seen balls break as much as they're breaking this year. I mean, they're throwing sweepers that come like that look like they're going to hit the shoulder of a right-handed batter that end up in the left-handed batter back. I mean, it's just it's like a wiffle ball, for crying out loud. I don't know if they raised, you know, the stitches so that we're getting incredible spin rates. If they softened I don't know what they did, but I wonder if Matt Olson or somebody, anybody on the team would say, you know, I hit the ball and it feels a little bit different this year. I hit balls that last year would have gone 425 or 430 feet into the chop house that end up going 370 and are caught, you know, two steps under the warning track. And I'm going, yeah, you know, I mean, I could see that. You know, why did I go from 54 to 13? If you go back and look, there was a stat about the Braves that was really interesting during the real. Well, I'm not that this isn't kind of. I mean, it's hard for us to complain about doldrums when you're 11 games over 500. But in the doldrums of like in May and June, the Braves have gone through this stretch where they, you know, they didn't score any runs. They were really struggling at the plate. Not that they haven't been all year, but this particular stretch, post kind of Acuna's injury here, and so they hadn't scored. And I don't know if Grant put it out or somebody. I read it. I know I read it, and it may have been Grant. If it wasn't you, Grant, I apologize. But it said something to the effect that the Braves were like 27th or something, 26th in Major League over this period of time, over these 20 games. All right, I'm making this up, but it's close. And it goes to the point that it was making. Over a 20-game stretch, the Braves are 26th in Major League Baseball in runs scored and like 19th or 20th in home runs over this 20 game. Yet they were like number 4 in barreled balls in these like next level stats. They were number 3 in exit velocity. In other words, they were hitting the ball like crazy. They just were hitting atoms or the ball was just dying. And so I wondered, that's when I really began to wonder if there's something messed up with the baseball. Because here's the other thing. How many times have you seen the Braves are going to strike out? They're a home run hitting team. They're built to hit home runs, and they're a home run hitting ballpark. Whether you like it or not, that's just a fact. So when they hit 307, they win a whole bunch of games because they're in a smaller stadium, built for home runs, home run hitting team. They're not a small ball team. They're going to strike out a lot. But a lot of the strikeouts are going to be, you know, somebody just threw a great pitch and something like that. They're missing by a mile when they're swinging. And they're also getting frozen. I have seen more, I don't know if this is a stat, maybe it's just my mind playing tricks on me, more called strike threes on the Braves than I think I've ever seen. Where they're just standing in the bat, and I'm like, swing the bat. What do you, it's like they're totally fooled. The ball comes out and they go, oh, what the heck? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I just hope the All-Star break figures it out. Because they're coming out of the All-Star break, they're at home. And you got seven winnable games, okay? You got the Cardinals and the Reds. And then you have to go play the MESS mess. And you know they're going to be jacked about that series because they're four games back of you and they smell a little blood in the water. And you're 9.5 back of the Phillies. It's between you and them. They're going to try and make this a blood feud. They're going to try. They want nothing more in New York than to beat the Braves and knock the Braves out of the playoffs. They wouldn't care if that's all they did and they got just decimated in the wild card round. They would go, ha, 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 we got the Braves, right? That's all they would care about. And so you got a chance here. Come out of the gate, St. Louis and Cincinnati. Let's see if you can't do something and kind of find your game. And then it's going to be up to Alex Anthopoulos because it's readily apparent. Look, I love the fact that we dipped our toes back into Adam Duvall and into Eddie Rosario and tried to recapture some of that magic. I understand that it was, you know, Duvall's done some nice thing. Eddie, boy, it looks like he's lost. I love Eddie, but it just looks like he's lost. Those guys are hitting 190. Okay, they're hitting 190. You can't. I want them to be on the bench. We put Jerry Kelnick in left. You got Michael Harris back, put him in center. You got to go get a right fielder. You know, you've got to get a right fielder. If you feel like you need another starting pitcher, fine, but you got to get a right fielder and get a big bat out there in right field. And you have to make a decision on what you're going to do with Orlando Arcia at shortstop. Are you going to ride this out? Because he's barely above the Mendoza line, and he looks lost at the plate too. So you got to go get a right fielder. You got to get Harris healthy. You got to put Duvall and Rosario on the bench, right-handed, left-handed. You know, Duvall can spell Kelnick every now and then, you know, when he's playing against left-handed pitching. That's fine. We're all good with that. And I'm good with that. I don't want him off the team. I just want him on the bench. They're darn sight better than some of the other guys that have been on the bench. So having veteran players like that who've been there and been part of a World Series team and all that kind of stuff, I want those guys on the bench. Now, what's going on here at shortstop is not acceptable. And if that means, I still don't understand. I think you come out of the All-Star break and go, okay, it's time to give Nacho a shot at this and give him a run. Give him 10 games. Give him 15 games. Let's see if he could do it. Because if he can't do it and you got to send him back down, you still have time to make a move. Okay, if you give him 10 games, you come out of the All-Star break and you give that guy 10 games and it doesn't work, you still have time to go make a move. Because you know as well as I do, Dom, if Orlando Arcia does not get any better, you can't live with that. You just can't. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they handle this. So, and maybe Orlando does get better. Maybe it's just a, you know, Snicker just hangs in with guys. I don't know how you go from... I don't understand how guys lose their games like this. You know, I get it if you're injured. But how does Orlando Arcia and Matt Olson go from, you know, he would have been the MVP if not for Acuna, and from the starting all-star shortstop to this? That didn't happen to Ozzie, did it? No. So how does it happen to them? I mean, not that Ozzie's tearing it up like Ozzie should, but...
Right. I think part of it is, you know, hitting and stuff like that, momentum and anything is contagious. So, like, when everyone kind of went in that funk and then, like, you know, it just kind of trickled down. But I also think part of it is guys start to press and start getting in their head. And I think that's been a big issue for Olson, is just that I think because he knows that with Acuna out and, you know, Harris is out now too and stuff like that. But, like, because of that, I think he knows that, like, okay, I have to shoulder a little bit more of the load, and I've already been struggling, and so, like, I'm trying to find it. I'm pressing too much instead of just going out there and playing baseball. if that makes sense.
I still think he has a flaw in his swing. Marcelo Zuna made a big change in his swing. Again, I've mentioned this before. Go back and think about Marcelo Zuna pre this year. He would take his left arm, step out of the box, and he would chicken wing it, and he would throw his chicken wing up in the air, and throw his chicken wing up in the air, and throw his chicken wing up in the air. Do you remember him doing that? Go back and look. This year, he doesn't do that anymore. He gets in the box, his hands are lower, and they're set back, and they're quiet, and he's been killing the ball. They quieted his bat. Matt's bat is tipping over at the top of the home plate, tipping over, tipping over, tipping over. He's got to loop that bat back over to get into a hitting position and then come back around, and then he's late. He's got to quit tipping the bat. He's got to get his hands back, tip the bat back over to the catcher's side, not toward the pitcher, and settle his hands down and just swing from there. Now, I know I overthink this. I played baseball my whole life. Up until junior college, had a car wreck, couldn't play baseball no more. But I did play baseball. So I know a little bit about the game. I didn't really play anything. My football career was over as a sophomore in high school. I got injured and I never played again. But I love to watch football, but I can't say I played it. I mean, it doesn't really count, okay? Baseball, I played my whole life. And so it was my sport. So I have a little bit more of a working knowledge. But he's got to, this loop that he's got, do you know what I'm talking about, Dom? Where he takes the bat, he cocks his hands toward the pitcher, and the barrel of the bat, the top of the bat points towards the mound, as opposed to laying it back off here. So he's got to get from that position to laid off to be able to swing. And in that motion here, so he's laid on everything. If they could just, Kevin Pillar or Chipper could just get him to lay it off and say, go start from here and eliminate this move that you have to make to get to.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Restrictions apply.
You've been keeping me up all night with this.
Back to more 92.9 The Game tonight.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with you. As always, be back 7 to 10 tomorrow. A little bit of Braves, second half look ahead, some Falcons stuff that I've been sitting on here that I want to talk to you a little bit about. I've been talking SEC Media Days tonight, a little bit of Hawks. SEC Media Days coming up tomorrow. We will have Kirby Smart, head coach of Georgia, and of course we'll be re-examining that as well, how he addresses this whole issues surrounding the never-ending problem, and I don't know how you handle it. I really don't. This speeding thing, you're not gonna put a governor in their engine. You're not gonna be monitoring them. I don't know how you handle this. And see, this happens. Understand something else. This happens everywhere. Okay, it happens everywhere. The difference is that at Georgia there was a fatal accident the night of a championship celebration, right? The difference is that Georgia's in a spotlight that they've never been in before. You see, if four players at, let's pick a school, Illinois, get busted for, drag racing in the street, there's nobody paying attention to that. And I don't mean that, Brett Bielema, I don't mean that. I'm sorry, Illini fans, I'm not trying to shade you. You're not Georgia. You're not in that spotlight, okay? You're just not. And so when you're standing on the stage, alone in the spotlight, what happens to the teams that are sitting in the wings, even if it's the exact same thing, they all see you. And so, fair or not, it comes with the territory here. So you have an update there on the home runs or us?
Derby. Yes, sir. So One, Marcell Ozuna has went ahead and concluded his round. He finished with 16, so better than Pete Alonso, but not quite good enough to advance to the semis. Gunnar Henderson actually just went up, and I believe he had about 13. So it looks like the ones that will be advancing are Alec Baum and Jose Ramirez, who both tied for 21 home runs in the first round.
Well, I thought four advanced.
Oh, I'm sorry. They will be advancing. And then Bobby Witt and Teoscar Hernandez. Sorry. Yes.
Oh, okay. I got you. All right. Well, yeah, of course, Bobby Witt, right? I mean, they're gonna shade it, right? I mean, of course. it's all rigged. That's okay. Good for Marcell, I guess, to go up there and represent the way he did. And no other Brave can say anything. So Marcell had 13, you said?
Gunnar Henderson, I believe, finished with like 13. Marcell had 16.
Oh, 16.
Mm-hmm.
So Marcell had three more home runs than Matt Olson's had all year.
Exactly. Good math. Okay. Good math.
We can point a lot of fingers at the Braves at the moment. The second half of this, how this Braves saga this season is going to end. But it better end positively, and it better end with Matt Olson doing something. That's all I can tell you. Because so far, if I point one finger of blame at one guy, it's probably him. You're a 54 home run guy. 54. You can hit 54 home runs. What are you doing at 13? So, just saying. And I want Matt to get red hot. I want him to get rolling. I think all of us do. There's 67 games to go. How sweet would it be if all of a sudden he got on a tear and hit 20 home runs the last 67 games? That'd be great. I mean, the man could do it. We know that. But then again, Dom, I still think the Braves have hit 109 home runs, I think, so far this year. Right, 109. They played 95 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have 67 to go. So this whole thing about first half, second half, they got to start calling it pre-All-Star, post-All-Star. We're not even close to half. We're 2 weeks, 14 games past half. We're in well into the second half of the season.
Right, right.
And the Braves have hit 109 home runs. Last year they hit 307. Think about that. 307. They're not going to even come. They'll be half at this point. Like half the number of home runs they hit last year. Wow. Now hopefully they get hot. And also leads away, and we're all singing Kumbaya, and Matt ends up hitting 255 with 34 home runs and, you know, 85 RBIs. Okay, you know, I mean, but I'm still of the belief, and I would love to hear, though the players haven't talked about it, but if I could get Dom 2 minutes with Matt Olson, okay, 2 minutes with Austin Riley, just off the record, okay, 2 minutes with Sean Murphy or Travis Anium, I would like to ask them, is there something wrong with the baseball? Because me thinks there's something wrong with the baseball.
Yeah, because it's not just the Braves. Like,
right.
It's glaring because it's the Braves and because of the season they had last year, so maybe it's just a little like we notice it more. But it's not just here in Atlanta. It's across the board. Home runs are just down in general.
Yeah, everything's down. Hitting's down. Yeah. Everything's down.
Yeah, and like
strikeouts are up. The spin rate that they're talking about, mm-hmm, with some of these pitchers, these sweepers. I've never seen balls break as much as they're breaking this year. I mean, they're throwing sweepers that come like that look like they're going to hit the shoulder of a right-handed batter that end up in the left-handed batter back. I mean, it's just it's like a wiffle ball for crying out loud. I don't know if they raised, you know, the stitches. So that we're getting incredible spin rates, if they softened the – I don't know what they did. But I wonder if Matt Olson or somebody, anybody on the team would say, you know, I hit the ball and it feels a little bit different this year. I hit balls that last year would have gone 425 or 430 feet into the chop house that end up going 370 and are caught, you know, two steps under the warning track. And I'm going, yeah, you know, I mean, I could see that. You know, why did I go from 54 to 13? If you go back and look, there was a stat about the Braves that was really interesting during the real. Well, I'm not that this isn't kind of. I mean, it's hard for us to complain about doldrums when you're 11 games over 500. But in the doldrums of like in May and June, the Braves have gone through this stretch where they, you know, they didn't score any runs. They were really struggling at the plate. Not that they haven't been all year, but this particular stretch, post kind of Acuna's injury here. And so they hadn't scored, and I don't know if Grant put it out or somebody. I read it. I know I read it, and it may have been Grant. If it wasn't you, Grant, I apologize. But it said something to the effect that the Braves were like 27th or something, 26th in Major League over this period of time, over these 20 games. All right, I'll just use – I'm making this up, but it's close. And it goes to the point that it was making. Over a 20-game stretch, the Braves are 26th in Major League Baseball in runs scored and like 19th or 20th in home runs over this 20 – yet they were like number four in barreled balls in these like next-level stats. They were number three in exit velocity. In other words, they were hitting the ball like crazy. They just were hitting atoms or the ball was just dying. And so I wondered, that's when I really began to wonder if there's something messed up with the baseball. Because here's the other thing. How many times have you seen the Braves are going to strike out? They're a home run hitting team. They're built to hit home runs and they're a home run hitting ballpark. Whether you like it or not, that's just a fact. So when they hit 307, they win a whole bunch of games because they're in a smaller stadium, built for home runs, home run hitting team. They're not a small ball team. They're going to strike out a lot. But a lot of the strikeouts are going to be, you know, somebody just threw a great pitch and something like that. They're missing by a mile when they're swinging. And they're also getting frozen. I have seen more, I don't know if this is a stat, maybe it's just my mind playing tricks on me, more called strike threes on the Braves than I think I've ever seen. Where they're just standing in the bat, I'm like, swing the bat. What do you? It's like they're totally fooled. The ball comes out and they go, oh, what the heck? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I just hope the All-Star break figures it out. Because they're coming out of the All-Star break, they're at home. And you got seven winnable games. Okay? You got the Cardinals and the Reds. And then you have to go play the MESS mess. And you know they're going to be jacked about that series because they're four games back of you and they smell a little blood in the water and you're 9.5 back at the Phillies. It's between you and them. They're going to try and make this a blood feud. They're going to try. They want nothing more in New York than to beat the Braves and knock the Braves out of the playoffs. They wouldn't care if that's all they did and they got just decimated in the wild card round. They would go, ha, 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 we got the Braves, right? That's all they would care about. And so you got a chance here. Come out of the gate, St. Louis and Cincinnati. Let's see if you can't do something and kind of find your game. And then it's going to be up to Alex Anthopoulos because it's readily apparent. Look, I love the fact that we dipped our toes back into Adam Duvall and into Eddie Rosario and tried to recapture some of that magic. I understand that it was, you know, Duvall's done some nice thing. Eddie, boy, it looks like he's lost. I love Eddie, but it just looks like he's lost. Those guys are hitting 190. Okay, they're hitting 190. You can't – I want them to be on the bench. We put Jerry Kelnick in left. You get Michael Harris back, put him in center. You got to go get a right fielder. You know, you've got to get a right fielder. If you feel like you need another starting pitcher, fine, but you got to get a right fielder and get a big bat out there in right field, and you have to make a decision on what you're going to do with Orlando Arcia at shortstop. Are you going to ride this out? Because he's barely above the Mendoza line, and he looks lost at the plate, too. So you got to go get a right fielder. You got to get Harris healthy. You got to put Duvall and Rosario on the bench, right-handed, left-handed. You know, Duvall can spell Kelenic every now and then, you know, when he's playing against left-handed pitching. That's fine. We're all good with that. And I'm good with that. I don't want him off the team. I just want him on the bench. They're darn sight better than some of the other guys that have been on the bench. So having veteran players like that who've been there and been part of a World Series team and all that kind of stuff, I want those guys on the bench. Now, what's going on here at shortstop is not acceptable. And if that means, I still don't understand. I think you come out of the All-Star break and go, okay, it's time to give Nacho a shot at this and give him a run. Give him 10 games. Give him 15 games. Let's see if he could do it. Because if he can't do it and you got to send him back down, you still have time to make a move. Okay, if you give him 10 games, you come out of the All-Star break and you give that guy 10 games and it doesn't work, you still have time to go make a move. Because you know as well as I do, Dom, if Orlando Arcia does not get any better, you can't live with that. You just can't. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they handle this. So, and maybe Orlando does get better. Maybe it's just a, you know, Snicker just hangs in with guys. I don't know how you go from... I don't understand how guys lose their games like this. You know, I get it if you're injured. But how does Orlando Arcia and Matt Olson go from, you know, he would have been the MVP if not for Acuna, and from the starting all-star shortstop to this? Ozzie didn't have it, did it? No. So how does it happen to them? I mean, not that Ozzie's tearing it up like Ozzie should, but.
Right. I think part of it is, you know, hitting and stuff like that, momentum and anything is contagious. So, like, when everyone kind of went in that funk, and then, like, you know, it just kind of trickled down. But I also think part of it is guys start to press and start getting in their head. And I think that's been a big issue for Olson, is just that I think because he knows that with Acuna out and, you know, Harris is out now too and stuff like that. But, like, because of that, I think he knows that, like, okay, I have to shoulder a little bit more of the load, and I've already been struggling. And so, like, I'm trying to find it. I'm pressing too much instead of just going out there and playing baseball, if that makes sense.
I still think he has a flaw in his swing. Marcell Ozuna made a big change in his swing. Again, I've mentioned this before. Go back and think about Marcell Ozuna pre this year. He would take his left arm, step out of the box, and he would chicken wing it, and he would throw his chicken wing up in the air, and throw his chicken wing up in the air, and throw his chicken wing up in the air. Do you remember him doing that? Go back and look. This year, he doesn't do that anymore. He gets in the box, his hands are lower, and they're set back, and they're quiet, and he's been killing the ball. They quieted his bat. Matt's bat is tipping over at the top of the home plate, tipping over, tipping over, tipping over. He's got to loop that bat back over to get into a hitting position and then come back around, and then he's late. He's got to quit tipping the bat. He's got to get his hands back, tip the bat back over to the catcher's side, not toward the pitcher, and settle his hands down and just swing from there. Now, I know I overthink this. I played baseball my whole life up until junior college, had a car wreck, couldn't play baseball no more. But I did play baseball. So I know a little bit about the game. I didn't really play anything. My football career was over as a sophomore in high school. I got injured, and I never played again. But I love to watch football, but I can't say I played it. I mean, it doesn't really count, okay? Baseball, I played my whole life, and so it was my sport. So I have a little bit more of a working knowledge. But he's got to – this loop that he's got, do you know what I'm talking about, Dom? Where he takes the bat, he cocks his hands toward the pitcher, and the barrel of the bat, the top of the bat points towards the mound, as opposed to laying it back off here. So he's got to get from that position to laid off to be able to swing. And in that motion here, it creates it, so he's laid on everything. If they could just, Kevin Pillar or Chipper could just get him to lay it off and say, go start from here and eliminate this move that you have to make to get to here. I mean, I've said this before. I don't know why they don't see that. There was a guy named, and I'll do this in 30 seconds. There was a guy named Brad Komensk. He was the number one pick of the Atlanta Braves. You have to go way back in the day. I think he was the number one pick the year after Bob Horner. So it was like 79. He was going to be a superstar third baseman. They got a hitting and strike. He destroyed Brad Komensk. Brad Komensk's swing was so messed up. We all talk. This is pre-internet and everything. We went, oh my God. It was the worst swing we had ever seen in my, what have they done to him? I mean, they made him the most, it's hard to explain how bad it was. We went from this guy who we saw, you know, briefly the year before when he first came up going, hey, this guy can rake. He might be pretty good, to where what is he doing? You know, and he couldn't hit to save his life. There's something wrong in Matt Olson's swing, in his physical swing. You know, and I think Marcell Ozuna has obviously adjusted. He has not. Just my take on it. I was about to say quick break. Well, it's not really a quick break. It's a 21-hour break. It's the end of the show. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow. We got a lot of Falcons stuff to get into, and Braves, and less technical stuff about the Braves, just more what you think is going to happen in the second half, kind of how confident you are. Give me a little bit. I'm rubbing my iPad here, getting a little bit of mojo here tomorrow. All right? So we talk about that tomorrow, 7 to 10. Dom, thank you very much for coming in and doing this. I appreciate it, my friend.
Anytime, John.
All right, stand by and stay tuned right here to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we count down towards the start of Atlanta Falcons training camp 9 days away. Any news breaking tomorrow, be here early at 5 a.m. with Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.